Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might be used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules."
Thank you for that scripture reading. I'm going to attempt to do this text justice and share a little bit about who we are. So in this text, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they call him and his disciples out for not washing their hands before they eat, like they're the etiquette police or something. And in their defense, like, gross, wash your hands before you eat, guys. But for them, that's not what this is about. They call it a tradition of the elders. And here when they say tradition, they mean not explicit commands of scripture, but additional rules and regulations that have been kind of tacked on by commentators to the scripture. And these additional commands, they're usually followed as if they were laws of God. They're trying to put a fence around the law. So if the law is here, we want to make sure we don't break it. So we'll put a fence around of all these other regulations. That way, if you accidentally break one of these other regulations, you still won't break the law. So it's a protective fence. But it's not law itself. It's handed down additional teachings, handed down additional practices that we treat as if it was law. We have a lot of those today. Tradition that we almost feel like is a command of Scripture. A few examples I think of are nice traditions. Don't feel threatened by this. But a few traditions I think of are like Sunday night worship. There's not anything in the Bible that says you have to meet twice on Sunday. Wednesday night church. It's another long-standing tradition. You can't go to a scripture and say, well, you have to be there on Wednesday night. They're good. We've done them as long as we can remember. But they're not law. Even if it felt like law growing up. For me, it felt like such law growing up that it wasn't until I grew older that I saw the first half of the Super Bowl. That's how much of a law it was. In my church growing up, wearing a tie, serving communion was a law. It was a tradition, but we made it into a law. Offering an invitation at the end of a sermon. Sometimes we feel like that's a law. Sometimes we feel like it's in here somewhere. That's a tradition borrowed from Baptists and Methodists. The welcome circle after someone's baptized, that's a Westgate tradition. When someone gives their life to Christ, we all circle up, we sing some songs, pray over them, welcome them. And a lot of churches have a similar tradition to that. And I would be sad if someone was baptized and we didn't do it. But it's not a law. It's not a law. It's something we do and it's something we love. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape if we don't follow our traditions. And sometimes there's good reason to get bent out of shape about it. But we can't get bent out of shape because we feel like God said so. Because it's not a law. So tradition is good. But one of the places it becomes an issue is when we act like our man-made traditions are God's law that you must follow. When we put words in God's mouth. When we say, you have to follow my made-up tradition as if God made up that tradition. And that's kind of what the Pharisees are doing to Jesus here. Sometimes our traditions are so deeply ingrained in us that we are confused about what's a tradition and what's a law. And we don't want to force that on people. One thing I found with Westgate, as a new member here a very long time ago, I saw Westgate as a church that's pretty traditional. That people from the more conservative or traditional pockets of the churches of Christ mostly would be comfortable here. But we're not bound by our traditions, generally speaking. And these are my observations, and I think sometimes when I'm talking about who Westgate is and what Westgate is, there might be some disagreements here. So I'll preface that by saying these are some of my observations. We're a pretty traditional church, but we aren't slaves to it. That's not our goal. One thing, and I'll just say the awkward thing here, the Churches of Christ Sacred Cow is we do a cappella worship, and Westgate does a cappella worship. And that's one where there might be some debate amongst people. And there's probably debate in here. Is it a law or is it a tradition? And I just want to tell you, I believe Westgate, this is a tradition we value. And we're not threatened by it. And like, oh, next week there's going to be an instrument. We're not worried about that. We love our tradition of a cappella worship, and it's safe here. And so because of that, we don't feel like we need to put a law or a fence around that tradition. Sometimes you see fences around those traditions like, well, there will never be an instrument in this building, or there will never be instrumental music played through these speakers. We're not going to have it in weddings, and we're not going to have it at funerals. We don't have those fences around it because we're not threatened by it. We know who we are, and we know what we're going to do, and so some of those things might happen. You know, we're not like, I mean, I'm not speaking for every parent here, but I don't think many of us come into our kids' room and say, is that Lauren Daigle you're listening to? You turn that filth off and you put on Eminem. We don't do that here, generally speaking, because we're not threatened by those things. And I think, for me, that's been a breath of fresh air. We can be relaxed about a lot of things. We don't have to be grumpy or fearful of something being taken away from us. There's not a secret, I mean, as a minister, at some churches, it's felt like there's this secret Gestapo that is out to get you if you break any tiny tradition or if it looks like you might break a tradition. There used to, at other churches I've been, they always come and say, well, you can't do that because little Miss so-and-so is going to be offended, so you can't do that. We don't have that here. We're safe with the traditions we love, and we're not afraid of a slippery slope breaking them. And that's been pretty nice. It's been pretty free, and it's been a nice balance. So that's part of who we are. I want to keep going and look at this text a little more. Jesus answers their question with a question, which sometimes he does that. Why do you break the laws of God for the sake of your tradition? That's harsh. And he's going to follow them up with a pretty neat example of how this happens, and we'll look at that in a minute. But here he's highlighting another area where tradition can become very unhealthy. And that's when it gets in the way of God's laws. That's when it gets in the way of what God wants. That's when it gets in the way of God's desire for us. My church growing up, like I said, we used to have this tradition where everybody's got to wear a tie at communion. But at some point, they figured out, oh, wait a second. There's some people who don't even own a tie. They don't have jobs where they need that. We're actually putting up a requirement that's making maybe people that are lower income not get to wait on the Lord's table. So they drop that requirement. And I know people, well, you could hold on. You could give them a tie. Well, you don't want to embarrass them. And that's not that valuable. What's valuable is the inclusion that the church is working towards, maybe hasn't perfected, but working towards at the Lord's table. That tradition was putting a roadblock. And so they remove that tradition. I think that's healthy. And so just thinking about dress, that's something that sometimes outsiders come to our church, and they kind of realize, like, hey, y'all don't dress too fancy here. And that's something that some insiders don't even realize, that, yeah, this isn't a church we don't dress super fancy, but also maybe we're fancier than other churches, but it's kind of the culture here. It's a relaxed culture about dress. Another example of a tradition that a church has realized, hey, this isn't who we want to be, and this might be getting in the way of what God's doing, is a church that practiced children's church. Now, I don't want to like say children's church where they say like, you know, at the sermon, kids go over and we're, that's not bad. I think it's a good thing. I think if done right. But I know of a church that said, hey, we kind of realize that we're sending our kids out. And that's not what we value. We want our kids in here with us. And so they made that commitment, not because they think children's church is a sin, but because who they want to be is keeping the kids in there, in here with them. And so we're not going to do children's church. So they changed the tradition. And I would say that mindset is kind of where Westgate's at. We want our kids in here with us. We don't think there's anything wrong with children's church, but with who we are and who we want to be, we want kids in here together because this the kingdom of God is for all people. Jesus said, let the children come to me, and we want to live that. And if you really look at a lot of Westgate traditions, they are really about being intergenerational. They're about our children, celebrating kids, families, and rites of passage. Like the graduation celebration. That's a big rite of passage. The Bible presentation to first graders at the beginning of the school year. The baby blessing. The boys leading the service. We have a lot of things that are about investing in our kids and our young people. And so we should always be looking at our traditions and making sure they're not putting a roadblock between people and God. That they aren't becoming more important than what God wants. We need to be willing to adapt. And one more thought, when tradition become a problem, is when it loses its purpose. Now, it's maybe not as quite as bad as traditions getting in the way of what God wants, but sometimes we just do traditions because it's what we've always done. A lot of traditions start because we do something once, and we say, hey, that was cool. Hey, I like that. We should do that again. We should make a habit of this. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good, but sometimes we get caught in that habit, and there's no purpose for it anymore. I'm going to tell this story a little wrong, so don't go spread this rumor that I'm about to spread. But I have a friend who's a firefighter. Let's just call him Carrot Jacket. And he told me a story about why firefighters, before they, and I don't know if they still do this, you can ask Caleb later, before they park the fire truck into the garage, they have to spray the tires with water. And do you know why they do that? Neither do they. It was in the book. There were, and it said, you spray the tires before they go in the garage. Because at one point, now the tires are rubber now, but at one point they were made of steel. And when they were made of steel, you needed to spray down the tires to cool them off before you park them. They switched to rubber and just kept doing the practice. Even though there was no purpose for it anymore, they kept the tradition. We do that a lot. Or we're tempted to do that a lot. I was thinking about the baby blessing. What if one year there's no babies? Are we going to be like, well, we still have to do the baby blessing? So grandkids, cousins, neighbors, we're going to, or like, Paxton, let's just do this again, man. there's sometimes not a purpose for the tradition, and we need to be able to put it on a hiatus or let it go for a little bit. Traditions need to be adapted. You don't always have to totally drop them, but sometimes we need to adapt them so they still have a purpose. The bucket here was once the give a goat bucket. That was a long-standing tradition where we'd have all the kids come down and give to give a goat. And as that ministry changed and we changed, it became something different. But we love the practice of giving, having our kids be part of the service and giving. And so now we have it for the blessing box, which is this box out here that we supply with groceries for our friends and neighbors. Camp, I think I have a picture of a few of these. Camp Blessing was a camp that we loved. We went there one time and we said, hey, you know what? We love this. Let's keep doing it. And that slowly adapted. It was a camp for kids with disabilities, Camp Blessing, but then there were some things that happened there, and now we go to Camp Beloved. Same idea, same clientele, our kids have a heart for that, and that's something that, it's not the same place, it's not the same location, but it's still, the heart is the same, and so we've kept that tradition. Love Grub was one that was, we had it for a while, and then it was gone, and then it kind of came back with popular demand, and we do that more often. That's on the first and third Wednesdays in the school year where we'll come up here and eat together. Watts, We Are the Sermon. That was something that used to be a church-wide event where all the churches would take off one the same Sunday and all work together. And Abilene, that kind of fizzled out a little bit. But we have brought it back on our kind of own itineration of it here at Westgate. And that's been really fun. That's been a great ministry for us. The Brisket Burn at one point, I believe, was for college graduates. But we said, hey, you know what? We really like the Brisket Burn. We really like this. We don't have as many college students as we did. But hey, you know what? We need to raise money for our kids to go to camp for our youth ministry. And so the Brisket Burn ended up getting paired with our silent auction. And that's become a great tradition. It was adapted. It's not how it started. But it's still so meaningful because we've been willing to make those little adaptations. Because we don't want people to come here and see us do a bunch of meaningless, outdated practices that have lost all purpose. So we adapt, or in some cases, let go of some traditions. And that's a hard thing to do. But sometimes we have to do that because it loses its meaning or its value or its effectiveness or its personnel. We've done that here, and it was hard. But sometimes that makes space to start new traditions, new expressions of spirituality, new workings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you let go of one thing to take hold of another. Sometimes a lot of growth and change happens in people and in communities when we learn to let go and embrace the new. As hard as that can be, a lot of positive change comes when we learn to let go and embrace the new. Sometimes the world becomes bigger in a good way when we embrace the new. Life becomes more open in a healthy way. God might even become bigger as we see new sides of God as we embrace the new. We know our new members are having to give up a lot of tradition coming over here. You're getting to hold on to some, but even those are being adapted as they're brought to a new location. You're going to join Westgate and some new traditions, embracing those. And we hope that's a good experience for our new members. Because this is a growing experience for all of us as traditions that we've done separately before come together and are adjusted and brought together. And as hard as an experience as that is, I'm hoping it's a growing experience and something that's going to make us healthier. And so going back to this text, Jesus calls them out and says, you know God's law is to take care of your parents, but you're using a man-made law to avoid God's law. So they can say, and he gives this example, that they can take this money that, well, this money was going to go to take care of my parents in their old age, but it's Corban. It's dedicated to God. So this money that was going to go to my parents, it's not going to go to them. It's going to go to God. And essentially, they can kind of use that money for whatever they want. You got a little bit more flexibility of how they can use that money. They're using their man-made tradition to avoid following through with God's law. That's messed up. It's also kind of showing us how you can actually follow all the rules. You can actually check all the boxes and pat yourself on the back, but still be kind of immoral. You can follow all the laws, but still not be doing what God wants you to do. You can still have your heart in the completely wrong place. You can follow a rule, but still break the spirit of the rule. You can be totally right. Totally right. Still be kind of wrong. Rules are important, but they aren't the end all. Sometimes the heart is what matters. And that's why Jesus quotes Isaiah here. These people honor me with their lips. They do the outward motions, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want our traditions or laws handed down from God to be rote practices, rituals. We don't want that. We don't want the things that are extremely valuable to us to lose their meaning. When man looks at outward appearance, God looks at the heart. May our hearts be in the right place when we come here, when we meet with other believers, when we worship. May we keep up some great traditions that shape us. But may we allow God to shape us more and never allow our beloved traditions to get in the way of that or to get in the way of the fresh working of the Holy Spirit. If you are here today and you want to give your life to Christ, or if you have any need at all, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.